Lord, that you would reveal to them what exactly is going on. So, Lord, we don't need to tell you what to do in our lives. We just thank you that you've allowed us to ask. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I almost felt that, you know, at the very end of 1 Thessalonians, not that I want to try to drag it out a little bit more, but Paul left the Thessalonians with two statements that I thought were very, very critical in our lives. The first one was in 27. He said, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So I felt like what we should have done this morning was just to have somebody with an Alexander Scorby type presentation, if so, some of you remember him. He read the Bible on tape. It was wonderful listening to him. But
records.
Yeah, we listened to it on 8-track. So anyhow, I wanted to just read the whole epistle, the whole book, 1 Thessalonians, and get it in a full context. And maybe we'll still do that. I don't know. But I'd encourage you, please go home. And to take you probably 15 minutes at tops, you know, not to ask questions, not to stop and just read it and read it out loud. Because, you know, this is the strength of any body of Christ, is God's word. And it's not just bits and pieces of it, it's the whole counsel of God. And it's the whole counsel of God, not just being read on a Sunday morning from me to the congregation, it's me and it's you and it's each one of us sitting down and asking God, make this word real in my life today. And trust me, he will. If we ask those things. And he says, so, you know, sometimes, well, I don't understand it. Why not? God says you have not because you ask not. So when we ask God, please reveal to me in this book that we've been 1 year in, what did you mean for me in this? And watch what he can do in our lives. So today we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians, the next epistle that Paul wrote to these believers. And just background real quick that, you know, some of us, we really, the historical doesn't matter too much. But it should, because, you know, God's word is, it's not only, it's a roadmap for our lives, but this book is literal history. They are finding places now that the Bible had mentioned. They're finding and excavating places that they had no idea that were there, and there it was in God's word. This is historical. It's doctrinal, yes, it's for our faith, and it's also applicational. We put it into our lives, each one of us, if we allow God to do that. So 2 Thessalonians was an epistle that Paul wrote back to the church that he founded. And remember, I mean, when you read that 1 Thessalonians, stop and think. Paul probably spent 3 to 4 days in the synagogue, weeks with these people, and that's what he gave to them. You want to talk about your brain being full. You ever go to a seminar and it lasts for maybe 2 hours and you walk out of there and it's like, my brain is full, I can't think, what just happened, what did I absorb? That's what Paul did to the Thessalonian believers in a very short time that we've taken a year to mull over. Well, he had to write them a second letter, and probably it could have been within months or it could have been within 1 year. And the writing was 50 to 51 AD is what most of them believe that he sent that letter. It was written because there was a counterfeit letter. So, you know, there's 1 and 2 Thessalonians, but really they say there might have been 3 because someone wrote a fake letter to the Thessalonian church under Paul's guise. And, you know, as they examined that, they realized this was not Pauline in any way that he wrote. So this letter was telling the Christian church at that time, tribulation, you're in it right now. Rapture stuff, forget about it. It just contradicted everything that Paul had spent that time with those believers trying to encourage them in what was going to take place within their lives and the lives of others. So it was in response to a counterfeit letter. I feel there was 3 principal reasons for this second epistle. Why did Paul write that? Well, that was, you know, that was one of them. But it was encouragement. Paul, as a pastor, if we look at this and read his heart, everyone, you know, I'm your pastor, Ted's a pastor, and Craig isn't here today, he's our pastor. Every pastor should have a heart for the congregation, because it's not our congregation. It's hearts that God has entrusted to a pastor, whatever church he's in, whatever denomination he's in. There should be a God heart in that man. And I just keep seeing it come out from Paul, how concerned he was for these people, his brothers and his sisters. And you know, it goes beyond the pulpit. Sheep beget sheep. Do you remember that old statement? Pastors don't beget sheep. You might not be a pastor, but you're a minister of God. You're going out there and serving him. Show the same love that Paul shows us in this letter. We need to show that to individuals. So he was sending that letter, the second one, as an encouragement to them, because they were under persecution. They were under persecution from the Jews at that time in the synagogues, severely. They were under persecution from their own countrymen. We don't have a clue here. You know, forget in America, we don't have a clue what persecution is as compared to what's going on in other countries or what was going on right here at this time. So he wrote that letter for encouragement. They were being misled as to the day of the Lord. And he was sending this letter, it's a little different than 1 Thessalonians, total encouragement in 1 Thessalonians. This one, he has a correction that he sent in this letter, as we're going to get to it 6-8 months from now, so don't forget this. For idleness while they were waiting for the Lord's return. All of a sudden, because of these letters, because the Lord hadn't come back, all of a sudden the Thessalonians that believed at first, they started to kind of wane a little bit. Well, maybe the rapture isn't going to happen. Maybe the tribulation, maybe we are in it. Everything's bad. You ever feel like you're in the tribulation? Like this week, you know, something that was going on to you? How much worse can it get? Trust me, the Word of God says that there's going to come a day that is so bad that there's never been a day like that, nor will there ever be again a day like that. If you're in Christ, you're not going to endure that tribulation. Not Doug's opinion, the Word of God. Our sign outside says, God said it, I believe it, that's it. Well, that settles it. Thank you, Nate. I went home and I had a flash. This is side. I'm like this if you're visiting today. Pat gave me the letter, said, go put this on there. I did it. I went home. I went in to rush into the shower to go set up over at the elementary. And all of a sudden, I thought, I spelt settles wrong. I saw the sign in front of me. And I called Nate. And I said, go out there and see if I spelt it wrong. And he looks and he goes, yep, you spelt it wrong. So I don't want the people thinking, you know, that we can't read or write around here. But he wrote that as a correction, because what happened is they started to get idle. And he addresses those that were mooching, if you would. We can use that word. It wasn't a New Testament word at the time. But he was addressing the people who were mooching off their brothers and sisters because they thought, well, the Lord is coming back, so, you know, I'm going to quit my job or whatever work, and I'm just going to wait for the Lord, and you can take care of me, of course. You've got a little extra. That's still going on today. But I think we should take that in an application that the reason he corrected them in that it was idleness, and I feel the Church of Christ at large today, not just here, but we're idle as far as working. You know, well, work, we don't like that word. Remember when Jesus said, you know, they said, well, where were you doing? Where were you? What were you doing? And he said, don't you know I had to be about my Father's business? We should be about our Father's business every single day and not be idle. And that either means sharing the gospel with somebody, you know, fully, verbally, you know, intelligently through here, or as we heard this morning, just a godly witness. Why are you like that? Why are you so happy? Somebody asked you, tell them. How could you do something like that with what you guys are going through? Cancers, sickness, loss of friends, loss of loved ones, financial, how can you do this? See, that's something we need in this church. And I feel the Church of Christ today, we can't be idle as far as working for the Lord and just trying to tell people, he said he's coming back someday. Let's be ready for it. I feel hopeless. I feel comfortless. I feel lost. That's working for God, telling somebody you're not. God loves you. God can walk you through this. He might not change the situation, but what he's going to do is give you the strength to walk through this. So that's that idleness that Paul was correcting them for stopping working. And I started feeling the Lord saying, Doug, I need you to get about your Father's business. Wow. It's like, Lord, I'm a pastor. No, I miss opportunities. I miss perfect opportunities to just represent my Lord. What's the difference between that and just sitting back idle and depending on somebody else? Well, you know, a lot of churches, and I'm sure not in this one, that's what Doug makes the big bucks for, you know? Let him do it. Well, he's the worshiper, he's an elder. Let him. No, it's every one of us need to walk out there in this world and get about the business that God has given to us. So that's why he wrote 2 Thessalonians. And before we start, again, remember the key in this is that the believers were being told all around them that they were in the tribulation already. Paul was wrong. And they were being told that there's really no rapture. See, if we're in the tribulation, God's not coming back. He left you here. He doesn't really care about you that much, whatever, however it was said. And there's no tribulation that you should worry about being rescued from. Alive from the pit of hell. God says it in his word. I feel we're being sold the same bill of goods today. There are those around us, just like Paul had to write this letter to correct them and tell them about what he had given them from God's lips. He's writing them again, and I feel we need it because there are people all around us that are saying the rapture is just some bogus theory thought about. God bless you, Ma. You know, by mindless Christians. It was designed in 1800 by the Darbyites. And there's all of these statements. Paul was trying to tell these people back then in 50 AD and in his other, the Lord is returning. The Lord is returning. So we're being told by major preachers of this world today that there is no rapture. There is no tribulation. Stop worrying about it. Don't worry, be happy, whatever, you know, just keep. We need to get into this word and understand what God was not only trying to tell them, but what he's trying to tell us. And I asked for a handout from Pete, you know, and as proof positive. I might bypass it, but pillars of our faith, who we sat under in teachings years ago, have turned. And they are. There is no rapture. The tribulation has already taken place. I mean, there's the, you know, there's preterist and there's all these words that, let's not go into all that stuff. But they're teaching the children of Christ that he's not coming back. Just do the best you can and go for it. Same exact thing. I mean, can we see the relevance of God's word in our life today? I hope so. So let's read 2 Thessalonians. We'll start off, says Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Underline this one if you feel free to do that in your Bible. Grace unto you. Get that. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound. You know, and that word bound, it means we're obligated. It's a word of force almost. We're obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. That's hooper something in the Greek, isn't it, Peter? It means it grows abundantly beyond what you can think. Paul's, you know, praising this church for that. And the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Father God, help us to see what you're trying to say to us today. Short verses, Lord, but so much, so filled. So we ask you to open our understanding by your Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians. What a salutation, you know, that's Paul's salutation, his greeting. I like how he did it in the very beginning. I don't know how you are. Usually, you know, when you get a letter, you probably, or a card, you shake it first, right? After you get it out of the envelope, make sure there's not a check in there or a little dead president or something. He starts his stuff off by saying who it is. I wish we did that instead of waiting all the way to the end to see who it is and have that nice little statement. Paul greets them. So I feel that just to put their heart at ease, if you would. The two names that he mentions gives us an idea of the authenticity of this. Silvanus and Timotheus were with him in Corinth, and that's where he wrote this letter from. It was the only time that they were known to be with Paul together in that one spot. So we're starting to see, you know, these things can be traced back. So they were there and written from Corinth. But what God really grabbed my heart with over these last couple of days was verse 2. And I feel that everyone in this building, we need it. We need this. We think, I'd like to go around and ask, what do you think you need? What do you think you need? What do you need? We all have something that we feel we really need. This is what we need. And if you don't have this today, I beg you, please consider Jesus Christ, the offer from God, our Father, for that salvation that lasts through eternity. This is the first breath maybe for someone in new life. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Paul didn't offer them, he wasn't saying, boy, I hope your guy's life gets a little easier. Boy, I hope you get that job that you wanted. And I'm not picking on you. You ever get that job you ever wanted? I finally got one. I don't know. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for fortune. He didn't ask for, you know, an easy road. He didn't ask that all your problems, all your health situations and everything would just disappear. He writes these people who are under persecution, under tribulations, under, you know, all kinds of pressure from their community. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. If we start to grab a hold of this today, myself included, I feel not that our life is going to be a cakewalk, not that everything will disappear in our lives, but it's going to pull us through whatever situation that we're in. So I started looking again at grace, and we've all looked at grace. We can remember Taffy 40 years ago when we sat in Bible studies, and some of us, and some of you were in there 30, some grace, God's reward at Christ's expense, right? God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Little, you know, memory things. It's much more than, I mean, it is that. But it's so much more. Do we understand God's grace first in our life? God's grace. So I wanted to build on that. And, you know, grace in itself, in its definition, provides enablement for everything within God's will according to your purpose. See, God's grace, it's not like, well, it's a little different here, but it operates different in your life and in your life and what you're going through and what you're going to undertake this week. God's grace is poured out on us. Not a little, not just a little bit, just a full measure. He's given us, if you're in Christ, His Holy Spirit. So we have to understand that no matter what I'm going through today, remember the Thessalonians, what am I enduring today? What am I enduring this week? God is pouring His grace out for me for whatever comes in my life according to His will. And then we look at that word peace, irene in the Greek. It means to be joined with. So I'm a child of Woodstock. You know, Pat and I, well, they weren't partying enough for us, so we didn't even go back then. You know, it was just, we'll stay home. Right? Anybody here 70 or very close, you know? Peace. It's so much more than that. The peace, God's grace, and then offering God's peace. That peace in the Greek means to be joined with. So try to keep that in our heads, and I'll get, look at the time. Where's it going? You're having fun, right? Keep going. God's peace gives serenity in every circumstance. every circumstance. There's nothing that that grace and that peace that Paul is offering them and the Holy Spirit is offering us today, there is nothing that can come in the way except for Doug Gibney to hinder that grace and that peace, to be joined with God in that peace, to be poured out beyond measure of God's grace on my life, to get me through this hour, to get me through this minute maybe, to get me through this situation. Nothing can stop it. In order to know God's grace, we all say we know it, right? Do we really know it? And that's what I felt God asking for this body of believers and me personally. Do you really know my grace? Because if you don't know my grace, you'll never know my peace. So there are many of us here, and I'm not trying to do word plays with our heads here. Many of us understand God's grace, right? And I'm going to give a scripture in a minute that'll prove that. You know, here it is. It says that. I know that. But do you have God's peace where you are today? And that's what God is asking. You know, he's not up there, you know, reaching down. He's in us. Or if he's not in you, he's offering what he did on that cross so that that grace that he poured into our lives can manifest itself in peace in us. So what's it like for somebody who says, oh, you're a believer, you're a Christian, right? They know that. They know you're a Christian. They see your car there. You're walking in there, putting your brain at the door every Sunday, leaving it there until you come out. But they see you in the supermarket, at your workplace. They see you at your family. They see you dragging, you know, one of your kids along screaming, where is God's peace? Paul was saying God's grace and God's peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, not from somebody's thoughts, not from somebody's wishes, but God is saying, I want you to know the peace. How's your peace today? What's interfered with your peace this week? What's getting you to a point like maybe even not that you're going to leave the Lord or maybe never receive him into your life because of all these tribulations that I'm already going through, like the Thessalonians? What is robbing you of that peace to be joined with a God who gave himself that we might experience this? The question to me, maybe you can ask yourself when you're shaving or combing your hair or putting on makeup, am I allowing God's grace to reign in me? Am I allowing God's grace to reign in me? That's, you know, serious question, but I think we're at a point in our lives that we should start asking ourselves some serious questions and getting the right answers. What does that mean to, am I allowing God's grace, which will bring that peace, to reign in my life? Reign, a word we don't hear too much anymore, right? Reign, that means to take rule, to take everything that you might think, consider, you know, what, and he is the one that says, this is what I want for you. And then allowing that to transpire, to be worked out, to show that it's in this stuff, day by day. I'm walking it. I don't know, a question we all have to ask. Turn to Romans 5:21, if you would. Grace and peace, I'd ask you to look those up this week on your own. Go in your Bible in the back, there should be a concordance. If not, get one. If you have smartphones or whatever, you can look words up and scriptures up. Just look up those words, grace and peace, and start to dig into them and find out, because we need it. I need a new car. You know, that comes in there. I need, my mind's falling apart. The thing breaks down every time. And blah, blah. Yes, that might be something, but I need God's peace in my life today. And unless I have that grace, I'll never know it. So we just look at some scriptures with grace and peace. Romans 5, verse 21. And you can read the rest of that too, because we just don't take one little verse out of its context. Verse 21, Paul is talking about the law and he's talking about grace right now. And in 21, it says that as sin has reigned, And there's that word, you know, sin has taken control of a lot of us. You know, there's not, we don't preach sinless perfection. We don't believe sinless perfection. We're human. We have this flesh and we have spirit and we're always going to mess up. But there was a time in our lives that law, the sin that was in us, it ruled us, it reigned us, it controlled us, it moved us into all these different areas, whatever they might be. And, you know, right away we think drugs, alcohol, pornography. There is so much more besides that. Let's stop that. You know, there's been churches that have sent people away from the doors because they smoked a cigarette, you know. And forgive me, you know, smoking isn't a sin. It's stupid. That's all. And that's a 3.5 to 4 pack of guy a day. Let's get down to what really matters here. That sin, that law that we ran under, it reigned unto death. It was killing us. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he's saying. Let that grace permeate your life. Open ourselves up to it. Do we understand it, Brent and I? Said, how much did we know about God when we were, you know, forgive me if you're children here, I had a shotgun in my mouth because there was no way out. And then God showed himself to us, right, baby? Wow. Let grace reign in your life. Let it take over. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. It'll cost you everything, right, Brent, that you want to do, but it's wonderful. Let it reign is what he's saying in here. God is offering that grace. If you're not saved today, I'm asking you, please consider Jesus Christ. Give him your life. Just say, here am I don't know what's going on. I don't even know if you're real. Show me yourself, and he'll do that. 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to rush. Forgive me. No, I'm Irish. I know that. Second Corinthians 12. Yeah, Doug, you know, but you don't understand. Maybe I don't, but God does. Trust me. He knows every hair on our head. He knows what's going on. He created us. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Every single, 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm saying, you know, well, you're talking about this grace, let it reign in my life, you know. Yes, because it's what's going to get us through. The new car, you might go home and I don't know, maybe somebody will send you a new car today and it'll be in the driveway. But our life is still spinning into eternity one way or the other. And what God says about this grace that we take so lightly, because some churches, we won't talk about grace. Other churches on this side of that balance beam, it's cheap grace. Consider what he did on that cross for Doug Gibney. I don't know about you. I want to know, why did he love me that much? Why did he love me that much that he gave his life for me? That grace is what he's saying, Doug, I love you that much so I could put this grace into your life. You don't understand what I'm going through. I won't make fun of you. Like, I'm snowmobiling. I've got to put the snowmobiles on the trailer. I've got to drive all the way home from Wyoming. Then Doug asked me to come up and preach for him in 6 hours. I was saying the same thing. God, forgive me. Confession. I've had company every week for the last 2 weeks. We've been doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We went to raise. I was telling God, I don't have time for a sermon. I was going to come up and say, anybody got a good word? Because I didn't even hardly approach the word. God said to me, what he's going to say to you, I hope. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Grace. It just sounds so simple. But it costs so much. And it's been given to me freely to help me go through this life. And not only just given there and saying, yeah, but then that peace, if we allow it, will come into our hearts. Do I still have time? Ephesians 2:14. What brings you peace? You know, I used to tell people before I got saved, when somebody said, you know, Doug, you're smoking too much. I was a cop. I used to smoke in a radio car, light one off the other, throw the butt out the window and keep going. And even my partner just said, you know, you're killing me, man. You're smoking too much. Why are you? And out of my mouth was, well, it brings me peace. It makes me calm. What makes you calm? What brings you peace? Is it that little thing, that spirit that we find in a bottle? Is it a cigarette? Is it something on a screen? Is it where you live? Is it the person that you live with or without? You know, whatever. What brings you peace? That's something I think we all have to ask ourselves, because if it's of this world, it's going to pass. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you grace, but I also want to bring my peace with it. So in 2:14, the Word of God says, for He is our peace. Underline that, and there's the question we got. Is He really? Let's stop. You know, oh yeah, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Oh, is He our peace? For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And I mean, keep reading that, but there's the question. Do I find that peace in my Lord and Savior? Do I find that peace that comes from His grace? You know, I'm going to leave out a few and just turn to Proverbs. I'm going to end with this. Proverbs 13. We had this over at Ted and Nina's house for the Valentine celebration that they do every year. Thank you for doing that again, you guys. A blessing for our singles, and not only singles, but those who have lost loved ones and are alone on that night.
And us,
we were there. So, again, the whole point of today, where is he going? What's he talking about? I'm talking about God is trying to send to every one of us, individually and as a church body, His grace and His peace to reign above everything that's going on in our lives today, so that we might be able to continue to walk through it, being Christ-like, having other people, whether we speak it or not, seeing that there's something different. Give me a taste of that. How are you doing this? That's all Christ is asking. And He's trying to put that into us. But sometimes the world stands in the way, doesn't it? Finances, marriage, children, health, let's start naming them. And I found that this verse kind of sums it all up. In verse 12, it says, hope deferred. What are you hoping? Remember, so we got grace, we got peace, but hope, isn't that something? I pray that we all have a hope of something every day. When I go to bed, I hope I'm going to wake up the next morning. But if I don't, you know, I'm going to be in a better place, but I still hope for that. I hope that Pat is going to let me have another day of sausage, which, you know, after 2 or 3 days, she tells me, that's it, you're done. I hope that I'm going to be able to. I hope that Doug finishes his sermon so we can watch the Broncos lose. We always do, right? They're the hopes that we have, every one of us. You have a hope. I have a hope right now. But listen to what the Word of God is saying in here. I mean, really, let's hear it. Hope deferred. And a lot of us have had that hope washed away. And when the hope washes away, guess what just went with it? Grace and peace, that God said, my grace is sufficient. And I didn't get to it, but He also says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. But He's given us this peace. So when this hope is deferred, out the window seems to go grace and peace. It's just not enough for today to get me through this. I need more. I was going to do Bill Murray in What About Bob? I need. You know, I mean, that's... We had our great-granddaughter over, and all I heard from the basement, she either needs Nani, that's her grandma right here, our daughter, or at 3:30 in the morning, I hear, I need my mommy. And mommy's in the bed with her down there, you know? Mommy's sleeping. God's not sleeping. I need my daddy. What do we need today? What's that hope? Put the worldly hopes away and say, I need this grace. I need this peace to get through whatever it is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire, Dave and I were talking about desire this morning, But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. What's your desire today? Desire, what do we say today? Passion, lust, a need or a driving force in us that I'm not going to stop until I get this. What is it? And what God is saying is what he said for ages. Hebrews 4:16, come to the throne room of God boldly, that you might obtain grace and mercy in your time of need, my time of need. What is it that's keeping the grace and peace as we leave right now? What is the desire? What is the hope in our lives? And all of those are good. And God, through his grace and peace, will bring those things to us. Persecution, as the Thessalonians were using for their excuse, is no longer an excuse. Persecution never hurt the church of Christ. Do we understand that? And it never will. God is above that. What is that thing in our lives right now that's hindering God's grace and his peace coming into our lives? We heard his word today. A lot of times it's just opinion. A lot of times it's pressures like the Thessalonians from outside people that we hear all day long. After today, why would we ever take, and let me just end with this really, as of hearing that God wants grace and peace in your life, my life, and his church's life, why would we ever listen to my own opinion or human opinion when we have divine inspiration? God forbid that finances, that marriage, that children, that health, that anything that befalls us overtakes the grace that we just heard will bring us through every situation and every circumstance we're in. God forbid that that should happen. Father God, help us. In the days that we're in, this is not a game we're playing, this thing called life, Father. We need you. Thank you for that little breath of life that we just heard, too. Lord, help us to desire you as much as our next breath. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be careful out there. Watch what he does with your life if you ask him to start showing it to me, Lord. Let's stand and worship.